When the new Congressional Super Committee meets to decide on ways to cut the deficit, it will have a lot on its hands. The 12 lawmakers on the panel are charged with bringing Congress a plan to cut the deficit by more than $1 trillion before Thanksgiving. At the same time, most of them are also raising a different kind of money for their next campaigns. As NPR's Peter Overby reports, that could be a problem.
You can actually find people in Washington, a few, who think the supercommittee members should forego fundraising. But White House spokesman Jay Carney said last week that such concerns are silly.
Elected members of Congress are responsible. They take an oath. They are responsible to serve their constituents and their country. We expect every member on that committee to take that responsibility seriously and the mandate that committee has.
But there's another mandate, too. Except for Republican Senator John Kyle of Arizona, who's retiring next year, all the other committee members plan to stay in Congress. And that means raising money for re-election. Democratic Congressman Javier Becerra of California has a fundraising reception in 2 weeks. It's sponsored by the Political Action Committee, or PAC, for investment companies. They'll be interested in tax policy, loopholes, and a host of other things. And early next month, there's a food, fun, and wine event for Michigan Republican Dave Camp. He's chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. One sponsor of the event is the PAC of the Pfizer Drug Company, which will likely be concerned about Medicare and Medicaid. To look at the broad sweep of who gives to these 12 lawmakers, the nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics ran the numbers back to 1989. The center's director, Sheila Krumholz, took me through the findings. The number one source of contributions?
The Club for Growth, giving $1 million.
Every penny went to Republicans. Not surprising for a group that promotes smaller government and a deregulated market.
Microsoft was second with $944,000.
Money from employees and its PAC. Democrats on the committee got almost all of it, especially their co-chair, Senator Patty Murray of Washington State, Microsoft's home base. Now Krumholz is down to number three.
Giving $737,000.
More evenly split than the Club for Growth or Microsoft, Democrats got about 60%. And there are other ways to parse the donor numbers, by industry, by party, and so forth. The bottom line is this. When the supercommittee meets, its members will be under pressure to bite the hands that feed them money. Take Patty Murray again.
Senator Murray stood up for us.
She put Boeing back in the game. Senator Murray leveled the playing field because we should build these planes.
This ad ran last fall during Murray's re-election campaign. It reminded voters that Murray helped Boeing to land a controversial Air Force contract. 79,000 Washington State residents work for Boeing. But now the supercommittee has to consider whacking billions out of the Pentagon budget. Murray will help to decide if big contracts, likely including some for Boeing, end up on the cutting board. The Sunlight Foundation says one answer to these potential conflicts is transparency. Committee members should disclose campaign contributions immediately online. It's a popular notion.
Clearly, more transparency in government is never a bad idea.
But David Schultz, a professor at Hamline University in St. Paul, Minnesota, points out that lawmakers don't bond with donors or lobbyists in just a few weeks. These things evolve over years.
And so to simply isolate this small little period of time and say we can render them pure, you know, for 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months, not going to work.
As for the supercommittee's work, much of it will be done in September and October. By coincidence, months that are also prime fundraising season on Capitol Hill. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.